If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Can I ask you something? What's your family's story worth to you? And I'm not talking about the shiny ones that everybody knows about. I mean the buried ones, the secrets, the heartbreaks, the ones that only slipped out after a night of too much Hennessy. That's what Vietnam Story Bank is for. No polish, no rewrites, no editing, just raw, recorded, beautiful beating history. The kind that makes you sit up and hold your breath. Your father's memories of his mother's wildest dreams, your grandparents' laughter that echoes in your bones. We dig it all up, we record it, and hand it back to you. Safe, untouchable, and unforgettable. Because when your stories disappear, they're gone forever. So go to VietnamStoryBank.com today and make sure your family's stories are recorded. What's up? This is crazy. What's up? We're in a Moto 6. Welcome to the Vietnamese podcast. I am here with Dujan. Is that how you pronounce it?
It's Dujan.
Dujan. I like that. Dujan. It's a cool name. Dujan. Dujan is Vietnamese from the Czech Republic, right?
Yes.
I don't know how we ended up in a Moto 6 together, but this is right before the film festival. And Dujan's a blast. I am here to talk about his film, Summer School 2001, correct? Yes. What a badass film.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations.
I like that you like.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I loved it.
Okay.
Yeah, I loved the film. It's playing on Saturday.
Yes.
At the Vit Film Festival. So I like hurried down here to get this out, this episode out, because I really, if you're anywhere in Orange County or LA, you should make it down to Saturday to watch Dujan's film, Summer School 2001.
Cool.
Yeah.
And are you from LA?
I'm from LA. I grew up in LA. I grew up in Koreatown. But I come down to Orange County quite a bit. I had another interview before you. And yeah, so I'm here.
Sorry. I'm asking too many questions.
No, you can ask any questions you want.
Okay.
We're here for us, not for just...
Oh, yeah.
You can ask.
I was thinking you should bring like a lot of friends from LA to see the film.
Yeah. What time is that? What time is your film at?
It's at 3:30.
At 3:30. Okay. 3:30. Well, the problem is a lot of people are going to go see The Stringer.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bao Nguyen's film at 6:30. That's the big, you know.
The competition.
Is it?
It's my competition because...
One's a documentary, one's a feature narrative.
I know, but as you said, many people are coming for a Stringer.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes, right? You will be the bigger dog at another festival. And, you know, people are going to put the other film at 3:30, you know. So how did you get to the Czech Republic?
Okay, so we have to start like in the 80s. It's when my parents met in Germany. And as I suppose, they kind of fell in love with each other. And they were like, they started to be making me. But I was born in Hanoi in 91. And after like 3 years spent in Vietnam, we moved back to Europe, but this time to Czech Republic, which is like next to Germany.
Mm. Why Czech Republic?
In Germany, you couldn't like get back to Germany because after the fall of the wall, there was no communism anymore. So, and the German like people decided that they don't want to have like too many Vietnamese there. So the next place to relocate was Czech Republic. And my father, he went first, earned some money, and then we can like follow him.
Come in, got it. And so you grew up in the Czech Republic from age 4?
Yeah.
All the way to now?
Yeah. It's been a while now.
Yeah. And do you go back to Vietnam often?
Yeah, like this year I will come to Vietnam thanks to this film.
Hmm.
And so I usually go to Vietnam like once in 3 or 4 years. So my Vietnam is not that good.
It's not bad either. Because if you can direct something like this, that means you understand a lot.
Actually, I just let them freestyle, the people, so that I don't have to be burdened by the text. So I was like, I can like listen to people speaking and I can like get ideas like what they are talking about, but nothing too specific.
Right. Well, that's just the path. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
And then at what age did you say to yourself, all right, I want to make movies?
Actually, it was never my dream to be like an artist or director, because I saw myself in business, you know, so I pursued my career in economics. But during the time I was in college, it was around when I was 20, I couldn't find a job, you know, so, and during that time I was dancing a lot, so I
like b-boy dancing,
yeah, like popping, yeah, you know, so
can you do it right now?
So I was really sad about it that I couldn't find even a job at McDonald's. So I bought a camera and I started, you know, taking videos of me dancing and was trying to be the best dancer in the world, but it didn't happen. So I decided to be the filmmaker.
Okay, let's talk about that. At what point do you give up as a dancer? When in your mind, at what point do you say, I'm not good at this and I have to give up?
Yeah, I think I was kind of good, but I wasn't the best. So that was my, like, it's my, like, throughout my life, it's been my problem. Like, if I'm not too good at it, I'm bored and I want to, like, do something else.
Then who said you're a good director?
Oh.
What inside of you? Because to make a movie this big,
yeah,
you have to have, like, this different attitude. It's like, no, I can do that. Because this is bigger than becoming a dancer. Yeah, it's a much bigger willpower to get to the,
yeah,
to that level, right?
Yeah, like I'm always like stubborn, so I'm not sure if I can be like the best director, but I have feeling that I can do something, like it's like worth it, because I spent 8 years making this film and I never like told to myself that, oh no, I cannot make it, you know, so I'm just trying. And this is my first film, so you can see if I can like grow or just go down. But right now I'm in a pretty good spot where I have some confidence that I can make shit.
Yeah. I mean, I always say this. Technically, you may or you may not know how to do it, right? But that's not what's important to me. What's important is, can you make me feel something?
Yeah.
Right? Can you move me? I was worried the whole time. What is happening? What is happening? And when I'm watching your movie, I'm living in a state of fear and then a state of relax. Oh my God, awesome. And then it's, oh shit, it's going to happen. Like something's going to happen. But it's not like a scary fear. It's a, you care for the character.
Yeah.
And to move somebody like that, Dujan, is a hard thing.
Okay.
Hard thing. Yeah.
So my approach is always to be somehow truthful.
Yeah.
With your like emotions and traumas. So I'm trying to be very honest when I'm making a film, because it needs to be personal, because otherwise you wouldn't spend 8 years making
it. No way.
So it comes from a lot of like my background, my family dynamics, and my friends and et cetera, the community.
Yeah. At what point in your development of the film did you start to say, I'm gonna actually make this?
Yeah, you have to be saying this like right from the start, because you are at the start, so it's not hard yet. So you have to have like the will to do it. So I believe that I can make it, because, you know, I can be surrounded by very good people, can get me funded, or they believe in me, or they help me to develop the script. And I was lucky because I had these people. And I think that I kind of like, I am quite positive, and everybody who is also positive, he can like feel it, so they can join me and I don't have to like persuade them. I just have to ask them and they can say yes, and they still stay for like the process.
Where did this story come from?
You know, it's my first film, so it's super personal.
Yeah.
So it's my life, like my brother's life, my family dynamics. And
are you the older or younger brother?
I'm both. Like if you take into consideration all the characters, all the characters that are like the main male perspectives, but just a little bit of me or like most of me. So I'm like mixing everything I know into a story that I believe should be like authentic.
Okay, so you start with an idea.
Yeah, so my first idea was like, I want to make a film about perspectives. That wasn't like the topic of like, was my childhood traumatic with my parents not being around? No, it wasn't my goal, because at that stage, you aren't like convinced that it's your trauma, you know? But as I was developing it, like I was writing the script for 6 years. And during that time, I started to realize that I need to put more like family message into that. And thanks to this, it became a wholesome project.
6 years of writing.
Yeah.
That in itself is that's a long time to write.
But I wasn't like starving, because, you know, you cannot like normally write the project for 6 years and still be living in a way, bro. So I did a lot of commercial as a DOP. So thanks to my background in commercial, I had a lot of like funds to be doing this, to invest my time into like this project.
And a DOP in Czechoslovakia? Or
And right now it's Czech and Slovakia. It's
super. I'm so sorry about that.
But it's good for like the Americans.
I mean, people my age.
You cannot know.
Yeah. I mean, we grew up with Czechoslovakia. So it's Czech Republic and Slovakia.
Yeah.
When did that change?
It changed like after the fall of the wall. So it was like 91. I know.
That's
awesome. Something like that. But
yeah, that's a long time ago.
I'm bad at history. So Google it.
I should have known that. Yeah, that's how ignorant with this.
Don't worry. I had never heard of Santa Ana before coming here. So.
You never heard of Motel 6 before he came there.
That's right.
This is crazy. Okay, so 6 years, and the movie, the script is finished after 6 years, but when do you start raising money for it?
Yeah, you have to start raising money like during the writing process.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in Europe, it's a completely different game, because we don't have the big studios, the big financiers. So we rely on the state funding.
Oh, wow.
So I applied for like first draft of the script, and you can get like 150K Czech crowns, which is not very much. And you start writing, and then you apply for like development fund. And thanks to this money, you can like finish the script like after 6 years, and you can also shoot a teaser. So we shot a very expensive teaser that looked almost like the film. And we used this to like show the Czechs that this film can be good. Because if you say that, like, virtually no one ever made this kind of film where like most of the people are speaking just Vietnamese and they don't care about, you know, the economics of having film in Czech or in English. So I didn't care about it, because we were state funded, so we don't have like any investors that should be like.
So the whole thing is state funded.
Yeah, you have to try a bit, you have to find like co-productions in other countries, but these money are also like from state funds.
Yeah.
So this is like a Czech Slovak Vietnamese co-production. And by Vietnamese, I mean my company is Vietnamese, but we are based in Czech, you know?
Yeah.
So, and we also shot like a few days in Vietnam, but it's mostly like Czech money.
So these are all soft funds. You don't have to pay back if you make money from it.
Exactly. I don't have to pay back. And they like that it's the topic is personal, and it's not going to, you know, leverage the commercial side. We can be very honest, and it gives you a lot of freedom. But what I want to do is I want to try, you know, some American co-productions because you have a different model. But if you take the American money and you spend the money in Czech Republic, the money is like doubles, you know? The budgets here are very crazy, but also the cost is very crazy.
Yeah.
But if you come to Czech Republic and you got, you know, this American Czech Vietnamese project, this isn't the right place to do it.
Is or isn't?
It is.
It is. It is the right place to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I watched the movie and I looked at every actor. The two brothers are amazing. The dad, Uncle Fong.
Yeah.
All of the acting is wonderful. How did you find these people?
Okay, so it's not very easy to find a Vietnamese actor in Czech Republic because nobody is an actor, you know. So the only professional actors are the father and the Uncle Fong.
Yeah.
And the rest are like people from nail salons, grocery stores. And I like this because you can give like the opportunity to people who might be thinking, hey, I want to try like acting, and we can like grab them, take their talent and just transform it into like a character. So everybody is like first time actor mostly.
Wow. Because even the little brother.
Yeah.
Feels real. Feels like a trained actor in America.
He's fucking real because he is who he is playing, you know?
It's crazy. I'm like, this little kid can act and he's a Czech kid. Vietnamese Czech kid. I'm sure he has no training. I was thinking when I was watching, I was like, but he has it.
Yeah.
He's got it. And then the brother, the older brother, the heart, you could just see the tough exterior, but inside when he starts speaking Vietnamese to his grandmother, it's just a different guy. You know, yeah, different guys when he's speaking Vietnamese. And when you look at his face, it's a tough guy.
You know, most of the actors, they went like through the similar events like in the film. So their experience doesn't have to be acted. It just needs to be relived. Like you relive it again in front of the camera, in front of the director. But you know your shit. So for instance, this guy, Kien. So he also grew up without his parents for a long time. And he came to Czech Republic to be reunited with them. So he has this kind of burden that he is like acting about. So it becomes real. So that's why, like, you know, Sean Baker, he loves to cast like misfits and normal people. And I'm kind of like falling in love with this process. Yeah.
Amazing. I mean, it takes a lot of talent to be able to pull that out of an actor. You know, like George Clooney says, you know, people say, oh, what's the big deal with you? You're just a good looking guy acting yourself. And he said, try acting with yourself. Try acting. just try to be yourself on screen. See how hard that is. Right? And that's what, when I looked at the acting, that's how I felt. Like, you pulled these normal lives out of them. Because it's not easy to just be your normal self. And pulled it out. And the way it's all put together, you're like, oh, it's so organic.
So it takes a really good editor as well.
Mm.
That's why we got two editors. And we were editing this stuff for like 13 months. So we were really lucky with all the collaborators who were willing to spend their time like extra mile, you know. They believed in the project, so they were like, oh, we don't care like how long we edit it. We just need to make it sure that it's the best shit you can have. So thanks to the editors, we really like got all the gems we collected during the shooting. And the rest is garbage, you know. The little boy, he had some troubles like acting. So sometimes you get like 20 takes of him, but mostly the first and the last takes are the best.
So wait a minute. The first edit, your, let's say your 3-hour, your assembly cut, was you felt like it was shit?
No, we felt that there is some potential. But we didn't like get into like the core. Yeah. So we need to combine a lot of like angles, takes. So we were really like picking the gems here.
Yeah. You know, at the very end, there's a big shot. There's a wide of the market.
Yeah.
Is that real, or did you guys set that? Like, I looked at it and go, that's crazy. This feels very real. That they're. I don't want to give away the film. I'm just trying to analyze in my brain. Like, wait, that's like a huge shot for a production. I'm imagining small,
yeah.
But that last scene when they're like taking down the marketplace, it's like, wow.
So the thing is that, as you said, how much is it like from my life? So this happened in my city, in HEP. We had this marketplace where like only Vietnamese gathered. And after some time, this place needed to be like destroyed so that they can build a department store there. So these takes are real. So like, we got this Czech guy, Milan Daniek. He was friend with the Vietnamese community, so, and he was a cameraman. So he documented everything. So we contacted him so that he could give us like the very precious material of the, you know, marketplace being torn down. And thanks to this, we could combine our like own
creations,
yeah, into it. So you don't know what is real, what is like made up.
Yeah, you don't know what is the location of that last shot,
yeah,
or what you built, yeah, for the stalls and, yeah, you know, individual shooting. Yeah, movie magic, right?
Yeah, movie magic. And you know, you are limited with the budget, so you gotta be very smart where you put the money.
But, yeah, because after I finished the film, I'm like, all right, well, how, okay. Because I thought that too, I guess. So I was like, he might have piggybacked the shutting down of this market. It's all probably real, but the timing of everything, the timing of putting it all together in this movie makes it seem like a huge budget, yeah, you know, when you think about it.
We would love to have a huge budget, but, you know, first film and 80% just Vietnamese and you're being funded by the Czech people or the Europeans. It was, at first, it was kind of hard to imagine to have this film made. But as we were still going on and still working on it, like the Czechs kind of fell in love with this. And they were saying like, finally, we are like meeting this community for the first time. Because until then, the only Czech Vietnamese interactions were like just buying a cigarettes or something, just a transaction.
You know? Buying a fake Puma.
Yeah. So you don't know, yeah, anything about their lives. But thanks to this film, we open up and we showed like everything.
Amazing. Made the power of film.
Yeah.
You know?
And also the power of community.
Power of community, yeah. And are there other Vietnamese Czech filmmakers in Czech Republic?
Yeah, but they are. They're emerging. They don't have a feature yet. So I was lucky to
be. So you're the first one.
The first one to have the feature. But there is a female director, Diana Kampan Nguyen. So she's quite successful on the festival circuit. So when her film comes out, it could be huge. It's also about the community and it will be like partly animation. So there are some voices in Czech Republic. And I'm also like championing some new voices.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't want to be a director like full time. I can also work a producer or a distributor if I find the right project. So I'm not doing one thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think as filmmakers, we wear a lot of different hats. But not everybody can wear the directing hat. Yeah. You wear the producing hat as a director, but it's hard to go the other way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then most directors have that producing side of them because you want to control it.
Yeah.
So you need to know things, what they cost and how it's implemented, right?
Exactly. You know, you're a Vietnamese as me. So I don't know about your parents, but my parents, they reuse everything like at least 2 times or 3 times or never like throw it away.
Never.
So it's part of my DNA as well. So I want to like control the budget where the money like is really put. Like I don't want to invest in shit that won't be visible in the camera. So I'm really like fine tuning the budget thanks to the fact that I'm also a director. So I know how the shot looks. So the rest is not invested in. Just the tunnel vision and you put all the money in front of the camera.
Yeah. So what kind of distribution would this film get?
Okay, so in Czech Republic, we made really good numbers for this kind of film. Because if you have a debut feature, it gets like, I don't know, 3,000K admissions, like 3,000 admissions, which is not very good. And our film, it got 35K.
35,000 admissions. Yeah. So do you get to keep that money or you have to give it back to the state?
No. You can credit with like the co-producers.
Oh, wow.
With the distributors. But you can keep the money.
Wow. You don't have to keep
it up. So it's a good business model. Like you have a quite, not quite affordable film, but you are milking it with like, with your like skills to make a good film. So you have to make a really good film and it can make money. But we also like knew that the marketing is very important. So we market it as like almost as a comedy, you know. It has this summer vibe, and we put in the trailer like all the white people that were like in the cast. So we put them with the interaction with the Vietnamese so that we could like market it.
Right. It works. Makes sense.
Yeah.
The idea of Summer School 2001, in the beginning, I was, you know, the first, I don't know, 30 minutes, I was like, I didn't get it. And then I understood.
Right. Okay, tell me.
Let me translate from what I got, all right? This is a summer that everybody basically got to, like, well, he was actually in school, summer school. The young teacher taught these boys, or boys and girls, in this small Czech town. And for me, it was like everybody went to school that summer.
Yes.
That's summer school for everybody. Yeah. Everybody got to learn something.
Lesson learned. Even the father.
Oh, well, the biggest learner of something, of this lesson, is the way you ended the film was, meh, I wanted to cry. Because I wish all parents can come to that understanding sooner than later.
Yeah.
You know, but there's this moment like something bad happens in the family and you start to realize that, okay, so this is really not good. The death in the family.
Yep.
So that's why you have to like reconsider everything, like every relationship, every like all the dynamics that is happening in the family. Is it worth it? Like we might not be here like tomorrow. Yeah. You know? Let's sort it out.
And I'm sure you didn't 6-8 years ago start out with that theme, right?
No. I was running away actually from this topic. I was like, no, I'm not doing another film about my father and about how I feel like not very like drawn to this family. But it somehow sneaked in and it took over.
You know, it has no choice, yeah. You know? You have no choice. We have no choice. I have no choice to be here. I don't know why I'm here. I have to be here, right? It's like our art. We have to know. I don't know why we have to know. So like that 8 years of you digging for a story or the story or trying to break the story, as we say, you break the story by 8 years of like really digging. And finally, when you find it, the story comes up. It's not your choice.
You cannot deny the trauma that is put in the film.
Yeah.
But I was trying to like really run away from it, but I couldn't at the end.
And so how did that affect your relationship with your father? Did he watch it yet?
Yeah.
And how,
you know, we had a world premiere of this film in the biggest cinema in Czech Republic at the international festival, Karlovy Vary. And there was like 1,200 people in the hall. So it was really huge.
Wow.
And after the film, we got the standing ovations. And then I was really busy about like everybody congratulating me. And then my parents came, you know, to congratulate me. And he didn't have to tell me anything. Mm. We both knew because we, you know, we watched the film. So we just hugged. Like for like very long time, we didn't have like any sort of connection. But you know, when an Asian parent hugs his kid, it's something different. And my mother, she was like crying. Wow. So, you know, I was feeling like, yeah, this is it. But yeah, that's my life, you know.
I'm crying right now.
Don't cry, man. Calm down, calm down, my son.
You know, yeah.
Well, because there's a big commentary you make about, you know, being completely blind to your son and deaf to your family. You know, you don't can't hear it, can't see it. And then something happens, you know, and then you turn around and you begin to see things differently, you know?
Yeah.
And thank God, like I said, this film shows that he's relatively young. You know, he's probably my age and can still turn. It's a lesson for parents out there that are like stuck in old fashioned ways that you can still turn your relationship around with your children.
Yeah. Like every day, even if you're like 50 plus,
yeah,
your parents are like 80 plus.
You still can change.
You can still change because I bet that they are willing to change, but they're all to try.
Yeah.
But you still got, you know, your mouth and your legs. You can walk to them and tell them, hey, I love you guys.
Yeah.
And they would like, oh my God, you love us? Is it like for real? We never show emotion. No. Don't do that. No. Don't do that.
Who's weird?
Yeah.
What's next?
Oh, yeah. So what's next? So I was busy developing more stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be known as like the Vietnamese filmmaker doing the Vietnamese stuff. But somehow the Vietnamese angle still like is around. So I'm preparing a anime. It's called Lost Boys, and it's about, you know, how the Generation Alpha are stuck in this online world, how much scrolling they are doing.
Is that a Vietnamese film or no?
It's a Vietnamese anime series. So,
love it.
The main character is Zhang, who is a Vietnamese girl, who is not challenged by, you know, her like traumatic experience with her parents, but more about the technology, but you can still feel the family dynamics in there. But they have like, it's not like a retro film. It's like 2030. So I'm imagining my community in like 5-6 years. And I hope it will be, you know, success.
You hope the film will be a success, or you hope Gen A survives and they become successful?
Oh, yeah, I'm hoping for both actually, because it's somehow connected, because they are my like future audience. Yeah. So I want to be able to speak to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to make this film really like also authentic. And another project I'm working on is like anthology series about, you know, about the history of our people when they first came to the Germany, to Czechoslovakia. And because the people who came, they are still alive.
Yeah.
So they deserve to have this, yeah, to see this on the screens, because I think it would make them really happy to see like stories of their beginnings. So there are these two big projects that are like ahead of me right now.
I have a feeling I'm going to see a lot more of you in the world that I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah. The film world. I look forward to seeing more of your stories, because this is really good.
Yeah, I want to like, I don't want to be like just stuck in Czech Republic realm, you know, or Europe. I want to speak to Vietnamese audience as well.
No.
So yeah, and with summer school, we are hitting cinemas in January, and we're like expecting something.
Cinemas here or Vietnam?
Vietnam.
Oh wow!
But if we like succeed in Vietnam, I think
there's more.
California, there is a lot of people here.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'm excited, very very excited for you, and excited to see the next film.
You have any questions for me?
Yeah, like, do you like to live in the States?
Because it's a culture shock for me. You know? Why? Tell me about the culture shock. And not that I'm trying to deflect the question, but I'll answer your question.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll answer your question after you tell me.
So my first big shock is I knew that this place is huge and you don't like get to walk around and get somewhere. You just, you know, are around the block still. So this is my first culture shock.
So it's that big for you?
It's so big, man. Like, you're wasting so much time just driving around.
Wow.
You know, and I'm not like used to it, because it just takes like 20 minutes for me to get from, you know, to the city center from my home. And I can go by tram and I can like do my emails during that walk or something. But here you have to be like doing this. Maybe you can call, but it's really weird for me.
Yeah, so I was born in the East Coast and my family moved to LA when I was 1 year old, when I was like 50 years ago. And I grew up in LA my whole life. I spent 4 years outside of LA, 3 years in San Diego, 1 year in Japan, because I was a US Marine.
Okay.
When I was 17 to 21. So those are the only 4 years I spent away from LA.
Yeah.
The rest of the time I moved around all over LA. But I have spent a lot of time in Vietnam because my brother moved to Vietnam 21 years ago.
Ah.
So as a result, I've gone back to Vietnam. I don't know. I can't even count. It's like going to Orange County for me now.
Yeah. Nice.
But also, I was in a business selling the goods. I had a factory in Vietnam. I still have it. But yeah. When I was very active for about 10 years, I traveled all around the US selling my product. It was fabrics from Vietnam.
Okay.
So it was textiles from Vietnam. So I traveled all around the world and, you know, the US, living really outside of my house for a long time, but I used it as traveling. So I got to see all the big cities in America and some major cities in the world, but spent all of my life in LA, LA proper.
Yeah, so you're just like me, but from America.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. Anything else?
Yeah. So do you like producing?
Yes, I love producing. I think it's very challenging. It's very hard. It's always been a dream of mine.
Okay.
But I grew up in the business developing stories.
Okay.
And so I thought I would be writing or directing. I don't say
you can.
But... No. I directing is a very special animal. You have to really be committed to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to be really committed.
So a thing in like pursuing these careers, I think it's much easier in Europe because we don't have that many people who want to be like, break out, and the competition is not that fierce, the funding is not that hard, you know.
Wow.
So if you are like emerging director and you want to break free, go to Europe.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
So for all of our European audience who are listening to the Vietnamese podcast, I want to end by telling you thank you, Dujan, for coming on the Vietnamese podcast today. It's a blast because we are literally at a Moto 6, in a city Moto 6 somewhere in Santa Ana. I don't know who paid for this, but this is a lot of fun.
I like this place, man.
Yeah.
It's like in the films, you know?
It is like the movies, like the movies. So yeah, that's the police telling guys time's up. Thanks again, once again, and congratulations on our movie Well Made.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Dujan.
Thank you for listening to The Vietnamese with Kenneth Nguyen. Special thanks to Brittany Tran, to Jane Nguyen, Catherine Nguyen, Tina Pham, Sydney Jamie, and Christo Trinh. Please find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at The Vietnamese Podcast.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.